on Tinder, his opening line, no matter who it was, so, do you like sunrises or sunsets? That's me choking on his dick, because that's a great line. I mean, that's... it's poetry. That's a haiku, I think. Check my math, but... that line's a Trader Joe's bag. You should reuse it. I had a guy on OkCupid send me an emoji as an opening line. Not a cute one, not like a heart or a kissy face or even an eggplant, which is gross, but I get it. He sent me one of these. You know the one you never touch? Because it looks like Pac-Man getting a colonoscopy. Half of you won't enjoy this joke because you don't know what I'm talking about. That's how rarely this emoji is used. And I responded, because I was like, I gotta make sure this guy doesn't hurt anybody. So I wrote back and I said, does this work for you? Do people respond because they're confused? Are you negging me? What's happening here? And he goes, well, the way a woman responds to the emoji tells me a lot about her character. And I said, all right, Detective Douche Rocket. What does my response tell you about my character? And he goes, well, it tells me you're really transparent, honesty's super important to you, and you have trouble trusting people. That emoji works. So we should get coffee or married. I don't know.
Welcome to the Nerds Podcast. I'm your host, Matt Gingrich, alongside Brandon Valentine.
Hello, hello.
Oh. Well, I thought that was fitting. I asked Kevin to be on, and he's at the Olive Garden. I'd like to tell everybody it's 7:14 at night, and Kevin has left his house.
That's a little late for him, isn't it?
Yeah. But I figured we could do some pre-planning, if you will.
What's that?
Well, like I said, I was hoping to get him on to actually set this up, but
well, yes, because we've got to come up with the what we're gonna make him do.
It, like, there's part of me that really just wants to do one for him and just have him get all the random fucking calls, but the thing is, he wouldn't get. So let's say we did one on that Silver Finder or whatever the fuck it's called. If he doesn't have the app, he won't get the notifications.
See, that's why we need to get his phone.
Yeah.
That's why we need him to come over to the house. We need to roofie him while he's passed out.
I don't even think we need to roofie him. I bet you he would just let us do it because he would think it's funny. But then we can give the best man speech at their wedding.
That would be amazing.
Oh, I agree.
But you got to make sure the wedding's got to be at like 2 in the afternoon.
Yeah. So like line one could be like, I don't like family, but at the Olive Garden, everybody's family.
So hopefully he's not picking up chicks.
I know he's not giving him an all-you-can-eat breadstick.
No.
Not at all. Yeah, so I was.
We know bummed. Kevin shoots early.
I don't know if he shoots at all.
Well, he did, you know, into the sidewalk.
Oh, pew pew.
He shoots early. Pew pew.
I just see those laser sounds coming out of his mouth when he did it. Pew pew.
That would be amazing. I can see Kevin doing it too, just saying pew pew when he shoots his gun. I could see it.
I lied. He's got probably has such a Napoleon complex. It was probably he pulled out a little pistol and went, kaboom!
I could see that.
Like he was shooting a fucking rocket propelled grenade launcher. One of my favorite guns on Bond, by the way. Oh, fuck. Yeah, I was really bummed. I was hoping he'd be on. Who the fuck thought he would have anything planned ever?
Yeah, no, I just never thought he left his house after like 2 in the afternoon.
Yeah. Well, I think he gets home at like 3, so
Okay.
But that's because he works in Seattle, and at that time it's a shitty drive.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had to work in Seattle today and got off at like, that's why I messaged you at like 4 or something. I didn't leave Seattle till like 2:30. So
I did not have to work in Seattle today, and my days of work in Seattle are now over. Lucky. Until next year.
Lucky. I had to do 2 classes today, and I was pissed because the second class, there was the one guy from the first class was in the second class. But there was like 4 people that were supposed to be in the second class that weren't in the first, so I had to wait till the actual time to start it, and none of those 4 fuckers showed up. So I could have started it 2 hours early and got done 2 hours early.
I don't know if I'm tired, but that was like a 2023 version of Who's on First.
He was.
What the fuck did you just say? A guy from the first class was in the second class.
Yeah, there was 2 classes. The guy from the first class was in the second class. But nobody else from the second class showed up. So I could have started earlier, but I didn't because I thought there was more people.
It's the dumbest story problem I've ever had to mm-hmm. find an equation for. There wasn't even a number in there.
No.
Honestly, that totally just fucking warped my brain. Like
somebody's tired.
Yeah. Yeah, holy shit. Fuck. I am so just fucking physically done. Just exhausted. I need sleep. I need fucking sleep. Taking tomorrow off because it's the first day in fucking forever that I have nothing actually planned at work. And I'm like, I'm just taking it off. Fuck it.
Lucky.
I've got like 3 weeks of time to take off.
I mean, I might be. It really depends on what the Snoqualmie Pass looks like in the morning.
Oh, yeah, I know. I know the weather's been all kinds of yeah. fucking finicky.
Yeah, it has. So it depends on what the pass looks like in the morning because I'm supposed to go to Ellensburg. And it's been traction tires advised for like the last day and a half, but it's supposed to snow overnight, so we'll see.
Ellensburg's fucking dumb, too.
It is. It is.
Yeah.
It is.
It is.
But I got to go teach a rigging class out there or something. I don't know if I'm going to do.
Yeah. So we talked about it a little bit. Go ahead. You can talk about Cocaine Bear because I don't think you're going to ruin anything for me.
Oh, it's amazing. That's. I mean, it's exactly what you expect it to be. It's like, you know, we were talking before we started. I mean, it's like Sharknado with a budget. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's stupid. It's amazing at the same time. I mean, it's, you know, over the top death scenes. And I mean, it's just.
I heard it's pretty gory, a lot of body parts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, being eaten and chewed on, spit up, whatever.
And a lot of people, like with small roles, that people that you would know. Like if you watch Modern Family, God, what's his name? His real name is Jesse something.
Jesse Tyler Ferguson.
Yes, he's in it, and his role is hilarious. You know, he's in it. There's Ice-T's kids in it.
Ice Cube's kids in it.
Ice Cube, Ice Tea, whatever. I always get them mixed up. At least I didn't call them Vanilla Ice. Mm-hmm. But Ice Cube's kids in it. And I mean, he does a great job. I mean, the acting's amazing. I mean, it's just funny. I mean, the whole thing, you're cracking up. Ray Liotta is Ray Liotta. Yeah. So, I mean, there's not a whole lot I can say to give it away. I mean, it's a bear that eats cocaine and kills people.
Like I said, I don't think you're going to give it away. Like, I don't think there's any spoilers.
No.
It's pretty straightforward movie.
Yes. Bear eats cocaine, people die.
Plot line wise anyways, right? So yeah. I've watched a lot of reviews. I've read a lot of reviews on it. Because again, I knew it wasn't going to ruin the movie for me.
Yeah.
I haven't seen anybody give it more than a 2.5.
Mm.
But every single one of those people said, we're only giving that because we're movie critics. And this is not a cinematic masterpiece.
Yeah.
But everyone was like, go fucking see the movie because it's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those. I mean, like I said, if you're going for an Oscar-worthy movie, this isn't it. But if you're going for like a stupid, pretty much like you said, Sharknado, but with a budget. I mean, the death scenes are hilarious. I mean, there's a couple. I mean, you know.
I heard Elizabeth Banks missed with some of her dark humor in it.
I didn't think so. I thought there was some... I mean, I was cracking up.
I not all of it. I heard there's a ton of funny parts.
Yeah, I mean, there's a ton of funny parts. I mean, it's... Yeah. I mean, it's hilarious. I mean, there's a whole, you know, the gang of thugs that's robbing everyone, but it's like punk kids and, you know, and then, yeah, it's... They end up getting their ass whooped by Ice Cube's kid, and yeah, because they found the cocaine and they're looking for it. They're going after it everywhere. I mean, there's a whole scene that cracked me up too, where one of the guys gets shot in the hand and like two of his fingers get shot off, and the guys look at him like it was the middle finger, or no, the pointer finger and the ring finger get shot off in one shot, and they're like, those fingers don't even line up. You know, there's a lot of that.
If you had to guess, what do you think the Rotten Tomatoes score is?
Like 78.
Okay, what do you think the Rotten Tomato audience score is?
Like 78? No.
Well, if you were picking 78 for the audience score, you're real close. 75. The Rotten Tomatoes score... honestly, is very surprising to me. It's a 70%.
Is that good or bad? That's good, right?
I think it's pretty good. I mean, when you see some of these, for instance, the new Children of the Corn, 9.
Yeah, but I just want to make you watch it just because it's Children of the fucking Corn.
I watch Children of the Corn probably once a year.
Yeah, that's why I sent it to you. The second I thought it, I'm like, Matt.
I can't watch...
Have you some bucks? Have you watched the preview for it?
No, I did not.
It looks completely fucking horrible. But Ezekiel or whatever the kid's name, it's actually a girl.
Oh.
So, and it's like a little like 6-year-old girl. So I mean it's
Ezekiel? So they're going into like the sequels.
I don't know. They didn't say her name. I'm just thinking of whoever
Malachi.
Malachi, that was. So whoever the main person is.
Oh wait,
it's a girl.
Who was Malachi was the redhead.
Yeah.
Who the fuck was...
It's been so long since I've seen it, but yeah, it's like she is... It looks like the girl's in charge, and she's like... It looks like a little 6-year-old girl.
Hmm.
So, I mean, it looks... And it's... But honestly, like, watching the trailer, I mean, it looks like it's going to be complete and out of garbage, but I still want to watch it.
So, The first movie is fucking... just amazing, and to me, yes, still fucking holds up. It really does. It's when they started coming out with basically the straight to VHS sequels.
Yeah,
the Children of the Corn 2, The Final Sacrifice, Children of the Corn 3, Urban Harvest. You know, when you go almost 10 years between the first one and the second one, and then you only go 3 years in between the second and third. 1 year in between the third and the fourth, like, you know, they're not whole. Like, I don't even know if they held true to. I never read the books.
And I think if I remember right, it's been a long time. But if I remember right, I mean, the books are only. I mean, I think the story, I think it's one of the short stories.
OK, so probably just the first movie.
Long. Yeah. So, I mean, it's a short. It's one of those things that it's like, which is interesting because I've seen that, you know, a couple times with Stephen King books where it's like the story that it's based off of is just nothing. Yeah, it was a short story. So Children of the Corn.
I'm looking at the cast and crew here.
Children of the Corn is a short story by Stephen King, first published in 1977 issue of Penthouse.
So
and later was in the 1978 collection Night Shift.
They're not using any of the old original names.
When you saw the girls' names, something normal.
Yeah, Boylan, Eden, Robert, Pastor Penny.
And the one that Eden is the one that the Kate Moyer character I was just looking at says she's like 14, but she looks like she's like 5. She's the one that looks, I think, is the main. Like villain.
Okay.
the one that looks like she's like five.
Yeah, that. Yeah, I can't say I won't watch it, but
I mean, I want to see it just because, I mean, I'm a huge, I mean, you know me, I've read like all of Stephen King's books and I want to see it.
But to me, Linda Hamilton makes that movie.
Nah.
To me, the believable part is the religious cult of children in Nebraska and a psychotic fucking ginger basically controlled by the Damien from The Omen.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's, I think that's why outside of the, well, to be honest, in the first movie, there's no, they don't ever like show the God for he who walks behind the rose.
Yeah.
It's just who they worship. So in all honesty, that movie is, could 110% fucking happen.
Yeah.
Where when you start seeing him in the sequels and it gets a little more sci-fi horror or whatever, you know, not believable.
Well, that's the thing that, you know, and one of the things I've always loved about some of those old 70s and 80s horror movies was the fact that in a lot of them you never saw. You know, that's what was amazing about Evil Dead. You never saw it. It was just this thing in the woods.
Yeah.
You know, and the same thing with the man who, you know, he who walks behind the rose, he was, you would kind of hear the robe move, you'd hear some noise, you'd hear something, but you never saw him. So what I can see in my own brain of what's behind those rows is 100 times worse than what you're going to show me on that screen.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, it's all human in that first movie, which goes back to your point about like 80s slashers slash horror movies,
mm-hmm.
right? It was fucking Jason. Any fucking human could put on, you know, could be that. It was fucking Michael Myers, same thing. It was, I mean, even Freddy, which was a dream. So anybody can conjure up a burnt human with claws.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's even like the original Friday the 13th where, you know, it wasn't Jason. It was Mrs. Voorhees.
Yeah.
Where you didn't even, until the end of the, people were just dying and you had no idea. It was just all of a sudden they would show like, you know, someone die and that was about it. You know, Kevin Bacon getting stuck with an arrow from under the bed and that kind of stuff. It wasn't, you know.
Well, and even like Poltergeist, yeah. which was another one that freaked me out as a kid, but very believable.
Because they left so many things up to you
yep.
to figure out. Like, what does the boogeyman look like?
And I think that's why I liked the first Blair Witch.
Someday I should watch that.
You never see any of the horror aspect. You just get the vibe through the woods they're in, you know. And I really enjoyed the way it was shot cinematically to make it feel real that they were holding their own VHS camcorder.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was no tripods, no still shots, no fucking nothing. It was all done with handheld cameras that the crew held. Or the actors help. So, and I know, you know, the other reason I really enjoyed it at first was because they made everybody believe it was a real thing.
Yeah.
They didn't do any actor interviews, no nothing, until it had been out a little bit. But, yeah. So, anyways, Cocaine Bear, based off a true story.
Yes.
Loosely. From what I gather, very loosely.
It's from what I gather very loosely because I've kind of looked it up a little bit. From what it sounds like is basically the whole entire story of the original, like, Cocaine Bear. It ate cocaine and died.
Mm-hmm.
That was it. I mean, there was no attacking people, no going nuts.
I think we need a sequel, Rainier Bear.
Well, I've
from
heard.
That bear that got drunk on and, like, got in that camper's cooler and drank, like, 30 or 40 Rainiers and got drunk.
I mean, don't they? Isn't that just a normal weekend on Capitol Hill?
There's bears on Capitol Hill?
Yeah.
Gay bears aren't drinking fucking Rainier. That's not know. Happening. That's an unbelievable movie plot.
It is.
Yeah.
So I have heard. Let's see. There's supposed to be. A meth. Oh, maybe not. Someone made a comment that I saw somewhere, but I don't know if it's going to happen, that supposedly someone's working on a movie, the Meth Gator movie. So,
well, I heard that they definitely set it up for breakoffs or whatever, or more movies to come.
Well, yeah.
So, no, I'll see it when I get around to it. Honestly, I wish I knew. It just came out at the wrong time of year where it's sports season.
It is, and I mean, I know that you've got, you know, with kids and all that fun stuff.
Yeah.
Ooh. Nope, there is a Meth Gator.
Oh, there already is a Meth Gator.
Oh, no, it's just coming. It's on its way out.
Oh. But here's what I don't want. Right? So when you take VelociPastor, we obviously knew that that was like a college project. You can fucking tell from the get-go.
Yeah.
Right? That's okay. When you take Sharknado, that was at least a produced, thought-out television movie. Corny is all fucking get out, but Cocaine Bear, really produced, you know, executed, boom. I don't want all these people coming out with Meth Gator and taking 2 months to film, edit, and put out. Like, I don't want a bunch of shitty shit coming.
But I mean, you already have. Oh, it's from the makers of Sharknado, so it's gonna be
horrifically good.
Yes. And see, I'm one of the ones, I love Sharknado. They're so fucking dumb. They're funny. Oh, and some Meth Gator is supposed to come out this summer. So it's something that was already in the works. So, but, you know, it's so bad. I mean, Lavalantula is another one. If you've never seen that one, that's another one that's just so fucking dumb. It's amazing. And it brings back the cast of Police Academy. So that's even better.
Move over, so, Cocaine Bear. Attack of the Meth Gator movie is coming.
Yep.
Huh.
I mean, I don't know, but I don't know how believable a meth gator is, because we all know people on meth don't have teeth. So, I mean, the gator's going to have to gum us to death.
Let's see here. Given the massive success of the movie Cocaine Bear on its first weekend in theaters, it was just a matter of time. On February 24th, 2023, the Asylum announced the upcoming release of the new movie about scary predators on drugs, Attack of the Meth Gator. And since Cocaine Bear is inspired by a true story, people immediately wondered if there were news about a real alligator on drugs in the last years. Let's discover the answer in the article you'll find interesting. First, let's clarify what happened. Cocaine Bear, yes, this is a true story of a black bear that ingested a considerable amount of cocaine in 1985 in the wilderness in Tennessee. A load of 75 pounds of cocaine worth $2 million was dropped from a plane by a drug smuggler who died a few minutes later. After months, a bear was found dead in the wild with a stomach full of cocaine. No reports of attacks or anything like that. I want to know if this is... Wait. After the movie was released, users on social media came up with thousands of similar ideas taken from actual pieces of news shared in the last few years, like the cocaine shark. Attack of the Meth Gator, though, is the most promising idea. An alligator on meth could really spread terror in an American city, but is it inspired by a true story? Let's just get to the fucking answer.
Oh, they never do that. Those are those clip baits. They just freaking...
There's been no actual news. The film is based on a couple of authentic pieces of news published in 2019 where the police have warned people to stop flushing meth down the toilets. Or some alligators could...
Flush meth down the toilet?
When you get that old... Police!
Then you just smoke it real quick.
Oh, they could be cooking it. You never know.
No, you don't.
You never know. I do remember seeing that.
I do,
where,
too.
I think it was in Louisiana.
Yeah.
Like, warning people not to flush their drugs down the toilet. But it's probably the best advice a cop's ever given.
Probably. I mean, it's one of those things, like I said, I feel like we've all met people on meth. They usually don't have teeth. So I feel like a meth gator is just going to gum us to death.
If alligators can survive the Mesozoic times and the Ice Age and all that shit,
yeah, They could probably withstand a little bit of math.
Yeah. And, you know, you can eat somebody's face on your first smoke of meth, but your teeth don't fall out on your first smoke of meth.
No, you have to do it a few times, yeah. Yeah. That's true.
So, and alligators are scary fucking enough. Like,
yeah.
I'm not sure I want to see an alligator on meth.
No, I don't want to see an alligator that's not on meth.
Yeah.
I did tell Amber if we moved to Texas, I want to get an alligator as a pet and call him El Guapo.
What's El Guaco?
El Guapo.
What's El Guapo?
You don't know El Guapo?
No.
Hey, God, what is it? It's like The Man or something like that. I remember it. I don't remember now. It's from freaking Three Musketeers.
Oh.
That was the bad guy.
I saw a picture of them today. Like, recently, the three of them doing the fucking Three Amigo pose.
No.
Oh, you said Three Musketeers.
Sorry, not the Three Musketeers, the Three Amigos.
Okay.
Yeah, the Three Amigos. He was the bad guy.
Yeah, I saw a picture of them that was posted today recently. I don't know if that tells us something's coming down the line, but I'd be for it.
That would be awesome.
Because Martin and Short and Chevy Chase, all three still got it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. They're still funny as shit. I'd be in. So I did not watch Mando last night. Did you watch Mando?
No, I did not. By the way, El Guapo means the handsome. The other reason why El Guapo, by the way, is if you play Far Cry, one of the Far Cry games, one of the your buddies is El Guapo and he's a little crocodile. So.
Oh. Okay. Yeah, I didn't watch Mando last night. And
I haven't. I completely forgot it came out.
My reasoning was I was sitting there after dinner on the couch, kind of waiting for everybody to finish their after dinner chores. And I was scrolling Facebook and Mel Brooks posted and said that History of the World is finally available on streaming on Hulu.
Oh, fuck. It's out too.
Not the new one.
Okay.
The original movie. Which, after they had finally announced the release date of the new one, I was like, I need to go rewatch the old one. It's been a while, like, you know, and couldn't find it anywhere. And so when I saw him post that, I said, I know exactly what I'm fucking watching tonight. And about midway through, Toby came out. He's like, do you know Mandalorian came out today? I was like, yeah, we'll watch it tomorrow, buddy. Like, Daddy's watching this.
Yeah, I'm going to have to watch that tonight. It's been one of those things that's weird because I haven't watched a whole lot because, well, I mean, Benton's moving out this weekend, so normally we watch it together.
I was going to say, your walls look empty behind you.
They are because, yeah, Benton's this weekend, he's moving out, so we're empty nesters.
How many tears are there going to be?
A few because the hardest part is that it's, he's like a freaking like, clone. So, like, half the shit, I'm like, dude, you can't take that. That's mine. He's like, no, you bought it for me. I'm like, no, I bought it for you because I fucking wanted it. So there's, like, half the stuff he's taking. I'm like, fuck, now I've got to go buy it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's a lot of, like, it's like, I'm looking at, like, all the pops, like, the wall was covered. And now it's like, there's, like, half of them were his. So I need more pops.
I see that Hot Wheels thing behind you. What the hell's that?
That's his.
Is it just one of the cardboard shippers from the store?
Yeah. So, because from working at Fred Meyer, he got it. So,
yeah. Nice. I was gonna say your walls look bare.
They do.
Yeah.
That was all his posters behind me. So now I got to figure out what I want to put up.
I think you're gonna need a Men of the Renerders podcast calendar.
Yeah, it would be a good one.
Just the two of us.
Well, there's Kevin, too, so. And we got to get Nick. I mean, Kevin's been on the show. Nick's been on the show. It's going to be a poster, that a calendar nobody wants to look at.
Joe Simomo.
I mean, there's only been one girl on the show.
Speaking of that, I'm horrible. I must forget stuff that we talked about on a previous episode. But I got a message from Joe Simomo. Listening to last week's episode, finally, according to a watch YouTuber, I watch your calculator watch is God tier. You can tell Mike next week you are God tier and he isn't.
God tier. Okay.
Yeah. That I'm God tier because I have a calculator watch?
I guess. I mean, maybe in like 1985.
I so want, dude, I got to know, do they make a fucking abacus watch? Because that'd be even better. It'd be some history of the world shit right there.
That is.
Oh, I totally forgot, and I don't know why, but I totally forgot Mel Brooks is a comedian. He's a stand-up comedian in that movie.
Yeah.
Or, as B. Arthur calls him, the professional bullshitter.
What's his name?
Oh my God.
It's something, yeah, I mean, I can't remember. Because, I mean, he plays like, what, like six characters in that?
He plays Moses. Comicus is his name.
That was, yep.
Torquemada, Jocks, and King Louis. It's good to be the king.
It's good to be the king.
Yeah. Dude, there's so many awesome people. And, like, I forgot. Well, I shouldn't have because he worked with a core group of people on a ton of films.
Yes.
Like Dom DeLuise,
yep.
Who is Emperor Nero, Madeline Kahn, Harvey Korman, Cloris Leachman.
Oh, yeah.
Is in it. Sid Caesar, who they used to do TV together. Orson Welles was the fucking narrator. Pauly Shore's dad's in it. Sammy Shore.
Well, it's one of those things, too. Like, it was something the other day. I was so shocked. I don't know how I never knew that Pauly Shore's dad was, like, a famous comedian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why does this name sound familiar? Charlie Callis.
Does sound familiar. I know Gregory Hines is like the main character, isn't he?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to, like, God, he looks familiar, but.
Oh, yeah. Charlie Callis is like one of those guys that's like a bit actor that's been in a bunch of things.
Yeah, it was like one episode of like 100 TV shows.
Yep.
B. Arthur's in it. Hugh Hefner's in it. Where he's like, I call it the centerfold. Oh, I was dying laughing last night. Tosh just kept looking up at me. Like, but at least she was talking to me. She's not talking to me right now.
Oh, did you make her mad again?
I don't know how I could make her mad. So this is where I was going before. I was like, I'll just tell it on air. So I have to take her to softball as well. And Tosh leaves to go take Toby. And then like 15 minutes later, I leave to take Bella to softball.
Yeah.
Run around the house looking for the keys. She had both sets of keys.
Oh, God.
So I had to walk Bella to softball. Because she's like, if I got to walk, I'm not going to go. I'm like, I'll walk you, dude. Like, let's go. Like, you can't miss first day of practice. You just made the team. Like, what? And I know she's sore and she hurts. She has to walk to school, then walk home every day. And then she gets like 20 minutes at home and then goes to softball. So, like, I get it. She's tired. And I've watched them at the end. They do a ton of, they do way more running than I think in my 20 years of coaching. I've made kids run altogether.
Yeah.
Like, they do a ton. And so, yeah, I had to walk. And so I'm angry. She got home from taking Toby. It hasn't spoke to me since. I haven't even had a chance to go off on my anger yet because she hasn't spoke to me. I'm not sure how and why women have this power to be angry at us when they mess up.
They just do.
And when?
They're just that way.
And I'm pretty sure I'm not the person to break that chain of command. Like, I'm going to lose this one, but in my mind, sitting in front of a screen with you, how the fuck is this possible?
I mean, it is. It's your fault.
But I'll probably, when I walk inside, apologize for having to walk 4 miles today.
I mean, it's your fault. I'm sure it is.
Because she took the truck keys.
I'm sure it's your fault somehow.
I know it is. I know it is. I know. You know, it wasn't enough that I was lifting 100-pound shells for 8 hours today, and... Who fucking knows?
Who knows?
Who?
Yes, yeah. I don't lift anything for work today. I just, like, tell people stupid shit.
I normally don't, but these resets are fucking killing me.
Yeah, this isn't something at all.
They are killing me. Now, what's on... how was comedy last night? How was Roger?
Roger's great. Roger was a blast. I mean, he had everyone laughing. I mean, Roger Lozola's, I mean, and he's got an epic, yeah, mullet. I mean, that is a mullet to end all mullets. But yeah, no, he was funny. I mean, he had everyone going. Everyone was laughing. AJ had a little bit of a rough start, but he got it going good by the end of it. So, and then Mike is Mike.
Yeah.
No.
I haven't seen or worked with Roger since, what the fuck was that place called in Kirkland? OVP, OVS?
Oh, yeah.
Something like that. Yeah. And that was, 10, 12 years ago.
Yeah, I would say I haven't seen him in a long time. So, but I mean, he had everyone laughing. I mean, everyone loved him. I mean, he did his thing, and I mean, it was good.
Good. Good.
Yeah.
Oh, good explanation of the whole thing. Excellent job.
I mean, it was just one of those, like I said, it was one of those nights. I mean, it was nothing. I mean, nothing completely like amazing, like rock your world. I mean, it was the normal crowd. It was good. I mean, he had everyone laughing. I mean, I was laughing, which is good. So, you know, I mean, I like him. I like Roger.
But, I do, too. That's why I was wondering how well he did, because it's been a very long time since I've seen him perform.
Yeah, I mean, it was good.
Good.
It was good. It was one of those things I'd love to see him again. I'd love to get him out to, you know, out to Ording at some point. But I'm booked through June, May at this point in Ording. I don't know what the hell's happening in Enumclaw. I haven't booked anything there.
Yeah.
But I don't know why. I've just, for Ording, it's been the one I've been paying attention to. So.
Yeah.
Because this month, what, next week, it's, I'm going to host, but I don't know how much I'm going to do because I had to, you know, feature last month. And then Narin and Todd Royce are going to co-headline. So they're both going to do pretty much whatever they feel like doing. So.
Yeah. Todd, and then, that's right, Todd's in town, or will be.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then May is, you're going to do it.
I will.
So, I haven't picked who's going to go with you, though.
I will. What time does that show start?
7 o'clock.
I got to make sure I got somebody to coach the team.
Yeah, so.
I forgot
you're
going to
have
mine.
I forgot out who's gonna feature and host for you, but.
All right, well.
I'm going to find somebody. It'll be good. I'm trying to think of somebody because I was hoping to try and get somebody that's been around for a while that we know for a bit. So, but maybe I'll see if Rachel can make it out. But
yeah,
since I had to cover for her this last month.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't matter, new, old. Oh.
I'm just trying to figure out who to get. It's one of those things I've been trying to mix it up more, but my problem is, like we know, I don't like going to the open mics, so I don't end up meeting new comics that much.
Yeah. Yeah, I've gotten like 10 friend requests from new comics in the last like 3 days.
Oh, I've had a whole bunch recently, and I don't know what it is. Like, just an influx of them.
Yeah.
No, it's like whatever.
No clue. No. Especially me, because you're at least in the scene. Maybe yeah. Doing your own scene, but you're in the scene.
Yeah, pretty much, because I don't like the normal scene. I get bored.
I'm not in it at all.
Well, my biggest problem is partly because, like, now it used to be, like, when we started, you just, the open mics were Thursday nights, Wednesday nights, whatever night it was, you showed up and you got in line, you signed up. Mm-hmm. And now it's pretty much you, which I feel, I mean, in all honesty, I feel like the place are probably losing money doing it this way, but whatever. They have it where you email them and say, okay, I'm available these days.
Yeah.
And they put together a list. And then you can show up and be trying to get one of the buckets, but it's still, And I always forget. So all of a sudden it's like you have to do it by like the 25th or something. So it's usually like the last day of the month. And I'm like, fuck, I never signed up and whatever. So
yeah, the only issue we had back in the day was that Laughs, where it was a bringer open mic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is why I've still to this day have never done a show at Laughs.
Yeah.
Because that day fucking pissed me off. But
yeah. And we still had like six people there, and that wasn't enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's one of those things. And, you know, that's what's nice about having my own little ones. But I mean, I'm done. I don't want to. I'm getting frustrated producing because it's just trying to come up with it every month. And then you have the stress of, you know, are they going to be there? Is everything going to go good? And it's just like with Ian and Clyde, I don't really give a shit anymore. It's just like, whatever. I pick the comics. If they're there, they're there. If people show up, they show up. If not, whatever. It's kind of on him. But
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. I get it.
It's just.
I do. I
just
get it.
Comic. I just want to do comedy and have fun. I've got a couple new jokes I've been working on, especially like with the whole, you know, suddenly the kid moving out and having an empty nest. I'm like, oh, shit. Like I said last month, I don't know if Amber can handle just me. I mean, it's always been the kids there as a buffer. And now the buffer's gone.
Yeah, but there's going to be lots of empty spaces you guys can be a part.
Yeah, I know.
you'll probably pick up 10 more podcasts.
But it's one of those things, like I said, I'm like, it's like I was telling Ben, I'm like, who am I going to have my fucked up conversations with? Where I have the conversations where we've had this conversation multiple times of how Jar Jar Binks was a fucking Sith Lord. And I try having that conversation with Amber and she looks at me like, who the fuck's Jar Jar Binks?
What's a Sith Lord?
Exactly. So it's like, you know, who am I supposed to have these conversations with?
I had my fucking nerd card, quote unquote, pulled today.
Uh-oh.
You brought up Star Wars. It made me think. We know it. You know it. I know you disapprove of it, but you know it. I'm not a Trekkie. I respect what Star Trek has done for the culture of science fiction, but I'm just not a Trekkie. The original one is enjoyable. Next Generation was, eh. I'm not a big fan of the movies. Wrath of Khan was okay, but that's about where it stops with me. And like Deep Space Nine was garbage and just in my mind, right? That's so. I'm at work today, and we're doing these resets, and it's a bunch of vendors, and the body armor guy's there. And he's like, so you always talk about how much of a nerd you are and toys and blah, 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 blah. He goes, how nerdy are you? And I'm like, well, I'm pretty fucking nerdy. I'm like, you walk in my man cave and there's about 1,000 toys just sitting on shelves. Like, I'm pretty fucking nerdy. And he's like, yeah, but are you nerdy enough to handle this? And it's really cool. Like, the design of it's really cool. It's this Etsy wall poster that somebody made. Is selling it on Etsy of almost a tech diagram, a spec diagram of the Starship Enterprise. But I was like, yeah, I'm not a Trekkie. He's like, then you're not a nerd. You're fucking done. What? What? Like, what?
Yeah.
No, I get it. They started the culture. Right? But as we've discussed on this show, nerd isn't just science fiction. Nerd isn't just computer brainiac, which is what we grew up knowing as a nerd, right?
Yeah.
That was more of an insult because it just meant you were rich enough to have a fucking computer and we had to go outside and play because we were poor.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Didn't mean I didn't like
it. We had a computer, but my dad didn't let us touch it.
We didn't get one until the year after my my oldest sister graduated.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I had to do my senior project on a typewriter.
Wow.
Yeah. So we never had one. But to tell me I'm not a nerd because I don't like Star Trek. Like, it's not even that I don't like Star Trek, because there's a lot I like. I'm not a Trekkie.
Yeah.
I'm not a you. Like, you could probably do some Star Trek trivia and be very successful at it.
Oh, yeah. I love Star Trek.
Me, if the question isn't who played Spock, Sulu, or Captain James T. Kirk, Picard, I don't know. Oh, Geordi. I do know LeVar Burton.
Well, of course. Yeah, everyone knows LeVar Burton.
And I know Will Wheaton was in Generation, but I don't know which character he fucking played.
He played Crusher, Wesley Crusher, and he was a douche.
And I know there was a guy named Geordi and then a guy named Data. But that's it.
Yeah. Which, see, I'm a nerd because actually it's funny that you mentioned this. I just started watching the third season of Picard yesterday, so.
Now, how's Picard?
It's pretty good. I mean, if you're not a huge Next Generation fan, I mean, it's a lot of nostalgia back to that.
I liked Picard.
Yes.
Like, I thought where there was a lot of gripe, if you remember, before Generation came out, that if it's not Captain James T. Kirk, we don't want to fucking see it.
Yeah.
You know, similar to any time something changes like that.
Yeah.
But I liked Picard. And it was one of the reasons why I said Generations wasn't bad.
I like Picard. I like the Next Generation. The movie Generations is a piece of shit, but
yeah,
I like Picard. Because Generations, my biggest problem, like most Trekkies, how in the fuck do you kill Captain Kirk by making him fall off a fucking bridge?
See, I never saw Generations.
Yeah, he dies twice. In the first part of the movie, he dies saving the entire ship. Half the ship's blown away. He's in it, whatever. He saves everyone, hands up, and whatever, some stupid nexus or some bullshit. And then at the end of the movie, he dies in a fight and falls off a bridge.
Yeah. And see, I like the original show. I love Shatner and Nimoy. Mm-hmm. You know, Sulu.
The first interracial kiss on TV was William Shatner. But
I've always loved that campy stuff too, right? From the 60s. We've talked at length about Batman 66.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking love it. Oh my God. The one Felix Sylla was in, Lost in Space. You know, just that kind of before special effects got good, where you could see the puppet strings and you could. I love that campy old science fiction shit.
I do too. And like you said, I know a lot of weird facts. Like, I know the fact that Star Trek originally was turned down, but it was Lucille Ball who saved it. She was the one who, like, had a huge belief. She loved it. She thought it was going to be amazing. And she, like.
Now, it only lasted, three seasons?
The what?
The original one only lasted three seasons?
I think it was three.
Yeah.
And what was funny is it actually didn't do that great when it was on. It was afterwards.
Yeah. I would say a huge portion of things that we really like was that way.
Yeah.
I mean, look at just about every Kevin Smith movie.
Mm-hmm.
None of them were well received. You know, it wasn't until they hit DVD and VHS that we were like, you know, everybody was like, oh my God, how did we miss this?
Well, and it's like we've had the conversation, like I wasn't a huge Kevin Smith fan to begin with.
Yeah.
It wasn't until I was a little bit older and saw them again where I was like, oh, this is freaking amazing.
Yeah. No, 100%.
Yeah.
I don't think I saw one of his movies in theater until Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Yeah, I didn't see him in theater probably until. I think actually would have been Clerks. Clerks 2.
Yeah, but that was also when Mallrats came out, was I just in college or Clerks? I think Clerks I was in high school, Mallrats was college. And there wasn't a lot of money. Like, I based a lot of my movie viewing on special effects. Like, yeah. I can't miss. There was no real internet back then, so you didn't have a lot of spoilers. But I was like, I can't miss these explosions in the theater.
Yeah, because in the theaters, it was so much better.
Or I can't miss Batman. I saw every Batman opening day.
I can see
until Affleck.
I can see that.
You know. And now it's the ones that I got to go see right away that can be ruined just by answering a phone call.
Yeah. So, well, and it's just one of those things. It's like one of the, it's so funny now in the day, the age that we're in now with phones and freaking everything, you know, internet and everything being ruined. It's like when I watch football games now, I will take my phone and I shut it off in the fourth quarter, especially if it's a close game, because my phone, for whatever reason, like the Yahoo Sports is like 10 seconds ahead of the game. And I've had twice now where it was like a close game, like field goal, you know, final score, you know, they're getting ready to kick the field goal. My phones will pop off and be like, Seahawks won with, and I'm like, son of a bitch. I know they're going to make it.
Now I know streaming. I think we timed it last year. I'm like 45 seconds behind live, probably a little bit longer behind live. I'm like 45 seconds behind Yahoo Fantasy.
Yeah.
But I'm constantly like checking my fantasy shit. And we'll be sitting there watching the Seahawks game, and it'll pop up and be like, Geno Smith threw a touchdown to Tyler Lockett. I'm like, oh, get ready for this play, babe.
And that's what happened to me. It was like, because even like live, the Yahoo Sports was like 10 seconds ahead of what I was watching on TV. So I would sit there, and all of a sudden, you know, we'd be close, and all of a sudden I'd see that, you know, oh, Geno, you know, threw to Tyler, because like I'd have multiple Seahawks on my team, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, fuck.
Well, the mine's supposed to be live. It's the Hulu Live. But I can literally have it on, watch Hulu Live on my phone, and my phone is 15 to 20 seconds ahead of Hulu Live on my TV.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's,
and like I said, just watching it on like whatever Fox or whatever on TV, like I said, Yahoo's usually about 10 seconds ahead.
Huh. Well, a lot of those, especially Fox, ABC, NBC, blah, blah, they have to have that,
that buffer
in case they got to dump something.
Yep.
Yeah. You know. That's FCC rules, regulations, and all that shit.
They should dump some of those announcers.
That too. But those, you got to watch this weekend's Dragons game. You want bad announcing? Just watch the broadcast of the Dragons game this weekend. Just 10 minutes is all you need. And you'll be ready to punch yourself in the fucking face.
I've heard it's pretty bad.
Yeah, it really is. I don't know where you apply for that job, but I would love to.
Oh, well, I mean, it's like when we were the day we were, you know, went to the game. I mean, whoever did the audio in the stadium, it's like me and Benton were looking at each other and saying, well, it looks like there's going to be an audio job for March 11th.
Yeah. I don't know. There's something wrong with the Sea Dragon. So again, I looked today, all these other teams have just awesome merch, jerseys. I saw lawn chairs. I saw all this shit. And you look at the Dragons, it's like 6 t-shirts, 4 hats, and a koozie. Like, that's all you can buy for the Dragons. I'm like, what the fuck?
You know? I don't know what it is either. I've noticed that, too. It seems like the Sea Dragons were getting, like, the shaft.
Yeah.
As fans. It's like, oh, yeah, Seattle's up there by themselves. Fuck them.
And they don't have, like, a team owner, right? It's the league owns all the teams.
That's what I thought, too. I thought it was, like, if the league just owned it.
So maybe they had the lowest ticket sales and they're like, we're not going to dump money into a bunch of merch when nobody's there. Yeah, that could be too. I don't know. I don't know why they worry about it. It's all tax write off when you send it to fucking the next FEMA, you know, crisis.
Yeah, who knows?
So,
weird.
I remember my buddy's dad used to work. I don't know if you remember the old company Logo 7. They were
a
sports apparel company. And back in the early 90s, they had a lot of the rights to Super Bowl shirts and hats and shit. And he used to have shirts that said Chargers 94 Super Bowl champions. I'm like, dude, they lost 55-10. He goes, yeah, the company makes both shirts, have them ready for right away. His whole closet was just full of the losing team saying they won championships.
Well, it's one of those things. I've seen a couple of those where it's like there's like whole towns, I guess, in like Africa and stuff that are just have these, you know, that stuff because they just sit there. Oh, well, we have boxes of this, you know, Seattle won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, my buddy had a fucking Sonics beat the Bulls in 4, whatever, you know. For the 96 finals.
Yeah.
So, which, to be honest, if I had that shirt, I'd probably still wear it today because that's pretty awesome. But
that is. Most people want to know that it was wrong.
Yeah. But most people wouldn't know who the fucking Sonics are.
No.
It's been too long.
It has.
It's been too long. Oh. All right. So what do you got coming up next Thursday?
Next Thursday, like I said, I'm going to host, and then it's going to be Naren and Todd. Naren is, and Todd both are going to be like co-headliners.
Naren is like a local legend in the comedy field out here. Very well liked, loved.
Everyone loves Naren.
All that fun stuff. And then you have Todd Royce, who's becoming, what do you call it, TikTok famous?
I guess, TikTok famous, whatever.
I know he's got millions of followers on the old TikTok-y.
Yeah.
Known for WhatsApp.
Exactly.
Oh, man, I'm sorry, I'm looking at my memories. And happy con to everybody. Today's opening day of ECC.
It is.
I will not be there, but I have a memory from 2018 that I was there with Joseph Somomo. And he's taking a picture of me in front of the three bad guys from Big Trouble Little China.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty cool. And then this is that night I did comedy at Divine Wine Bar.
Oh.
You were there, right?
Yeah.
Yep. That popped up in the old memories.
Nice.
Yeah. Sorry, but I got sad about con.
Yeah, that would be fun, but yeah, no.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, I know it's right. That toy store in Kent, I don't know if you've been there yet, the Retro Emporium.
Well, yeah, it's been a while, but yeah.
So they posted, speaking of con, they got a booth this year at Comic-Con to, you know, sell their toys and shit. And there was charges per weight of everything you brought in. So they had to weigh all your merchandise and charged you by the weight of your merchandise.
Yeah, I saw that.
Charged you for tables. I mean,
like, yeah, you could bring your own tables. They charged you for tables, but before it's always been they brought their own. So, yeah.
Yeah, you weren't allowed to bring your own stuff in. You had to go through this loading dock, and then they had to move it in for you, and that's why they were charging by weight and...
Mm-hmm. Where before you could do it yourself, but now they're like, nope.
Yeah.
We have to do it.
Yeah, kind of crazy. And to be honest, Kevin actually asked me if I wanted to go to con this weekend, and that kind of turned me off where I was like, nah, I think I'm good. But then I see pictures and I get sad because it really is a lot of fun.
It is. It's a blast, but I mean, it's one of those things. I mean,
and it's
I'll be honest,
and
it sounds bad to say this. I don't know if it's worth the price.
The ticket price?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was kind of it last year. I think it was last year me and Benton went, and it was like for how much we paid and then what we got for what we paid, it just, yeah.
I don't know if I would do the 4-day pass anymore.
Yeah.
I think buying a 1-day pass and just going and hanging out, to me, the 1-day pass is worth it. It would be nice if when you bought your pass, if you got one panel or one picture op or one autograph op, you know, that would be cool. But you're right, when you go in and you pay $75 for a day, you know, then you pay $30 for parking, so now you're over 100 and you've just walked in the door.
Yep.
You know, everything there is marked up, all the booths marked their shit up. Mm-hmm. I don't know about Retro Emporium, but I would be willing to bet that if we went there and saw whatever toy,
yeah,
and you went to their store Monday and it didn't sell, and it's going to be, you know, 10% off of what they charge, 20% off.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And easily. I get it. You know, you're in a place with thousands of people, up your price a little bit, but.
Yeah.
I hear you. I feel you.
It's one of those that, yeah.
I feel where you're going with this. I do. So, well, I'm really bummed Kevin didn't join us, but I will. We're going to do Wednesday next. Oh, Wednesday's the 8th. We'll have to talk, I guess, what day we can record.
Okay.
We might have to go Tuesday. with Bella being on the high school team now, next Tuesday is all the parental, we have the school all sports meeting, and then we have the actual fast pitch parent meeting all on, I think we're there from 5:30 to 8 or something.
Okay. So, just let me know what day.
Yeah.
We can make it work.
I'll check the calendar, but I'm thinking Tuesday because I know Thursday you got
comedy.
So, but yeah. But I'll send to Kevin too because we need to get that underway.
Okay.
I think that would sounds be good. A ton of fun. So, all right, guys. Well, with all that being said, remember to be excellent to each other.
Hug the ones you love.
And we'll see you next week.
See you later.